is already visiting somebody over there. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. God bless you. Be seated. One of the ministries, one of the work of the Holy Spirit is that he's a comforter. And like Daddy has said several times, before you can talk of comforter, you must be in a very difficult situation, a hard situation, a trial where you need some comforting. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. And I witnessed that comforting when I lost my mom last year. I just discovered there was something inside of me. That was when I confirmed that true. As for me, I'm heavenly bound. I discovered that there was just this, the only time I cried was when I saw her in the mortuary. And that was all. The day when we went to bury her, people that were there, it was not as if anything was happening. So the Lord is a comforter indeed, and he will comfort us in all our trials in Jesus' name. Let that be the assurance we live here with this year. No matter what comes my way, my life is in your hands. We're almost at the finishing line. Brother Stanley and Sister Blessing are clapping. We are the last lap because your fasting has increased, choir members. But how many of us feel as if we should continue this journey? Be sincere. Okay, a few hands are up. Me, I feel like we should continue. Not only is it blessing me spiritually, it's reducing my weight small, small. So I feel we should continue. Tomorrow will be the grand finale. Don't miss it for any reason. Wednesday, 5 p.m. In fact, it is Daddy himself that will start. So don't miss it. It's the grand finale, and we will never be the same after this program in Jesus' name. Let's see something in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3:19. There's a statement there. The book of Revelation is prophetic. And if you know our study on the church ages, you discover that this verse 19 is even speaking to us in this end, the last church age. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, what I'm picking from this is this next statement. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But I'm picking that phrase. Be zealous, therefore. In addition to all the principles, empowerment keys that have been dropped so far that we have been receiving, because the Lord Jesus has helped us to comb it from different angles, different areas. This program is so enriching, so enriching, so enriching. In addition to all, we will not fail to talk about the need to be zealous for God. So this evening, I want us to look at being zealous for God. Being zealous for God. Dictionary defines zeal as a great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause. That's English definition, English dictionary. Another word for zeal is passion. It says it's a great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause. But spiritually, I want to define zeal as the fire on the altar. And don't forget that our altar today is our heart. Hope you know that this is not an altar. This is a pulpit. There's nothing special in this place, though. There's nothing special here. The only special thing is that it is elevated because the word of God is dished from there. So it's a pulpit. Don't think there's anything here that if you come here, and of course, it's a place dedicated to prayers. That's all. It's dedicated to prayers. That's all. There's nothing, and you can dedicate anywhere. If you decide tomorrow we want to change that, we want to move the altar to the entrance, it will be dedicated. And anything, don't think anything is in any special place. That was how God walked with them in the old covenant. In the new covenant, the Bible says that we are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, where two or three are gathered in his name. If we decide now and go to a camp, the same Holy Ghost that is manifesting here, we manifest there. So the altar that God is dealing with now is the altar of our heart. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I define zeal as the fire on the altar of your heart. Why I'm borrowing that definition is what I saw in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Zeal is the fire on the altar of Yah, is the fervor by which we serve God. He says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Zeal is that fire we use to serve God. It is that favor that we use in working with God. Brothers and sisters, God desires that we be zealous for Him. God requires zeal in His service. He desires that we are zealous. It's not enough that you say you are serving God. He wants you to serve Him zealously. Praise the living God. He wants you to serve Him with passion, with favor, with enthusiasm, with great energy. He requires zeal in our service. The other day we looked at those that made a covenant by sacrifice. And then our pastor brought us to Romans 12 that says it is our reasonable service. So also it is. Your serving God is not enough if there is no zeal added to it. Praise the living God. We must be zealous for God. Look at what Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. Galatians 4, 18. I love that statement. See what he says. He says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Are you seeing it? Amen. And not only when I'm present with you. He says, it is good. Zeal is good. Be zealous. Our focus is being zealous for God. But the truth is, anything you do as a man, you will go far or be very fruitful in it if you are zealous about it. When there's no zeal, zeal is passion. When there's no passion, you see the person will be dragging foot. But when there's passion in what you are doing, no matter the opposition you face, you keep pressing on. Why? Because you have passion for it. You have zeal for it. Are we together? A major problem with many Christians in this generation, especially among us, the bride. Because many of us, when we were in the denominations, before God opened our eyes, we were very zealous for that denomination. I've observed this among many people in this church. But as soon as you say you are liberated, we are called unto adoption, you are free, through Jubilee ascended. Now you come to a place where you are taught how to relate with God, how to connect to God. Then the fire of your zeal goes down. For some of us, there's no even zeal anymore. No fire of zeal. But you and I know when you were in that Catholic church, when you were in that Anglican church, when you were in that Pentecostal church, how zealous you are for God. The most painful parts are even those that before they do anything for in the church, they will require workmanship, church member, for something he can offer freely. Come and nail this thing. But we know that when such a person was in the denomination before, he did it free of charge. He did it as a thing unto the Lord, a service unto the Lord, a thing of joy. What has happened? Zeal has gone. So that is one major problem in many of us, lack of zeal. When I still see the denominations, I still see many who are zealous, but will come to their own problem. They are zealous without knowledge. But we that we say we are the bride, we have knowledge. Where is our zeal? Bride of Christ, you have revelation. You know the mysteries in the Bible. Where is your zeal? Are we together? And zeal, our zeal for God is reflected in our seriousness with God. It's reflected in our concern for the work of God, our concern for the house of God. It is reflected in our quickness in doing anything for Him. How you can tell somebody that lacks zeal is, if I should say, Brother Gabriel, somebody's laughing. I love using Brother Gabriel as an example. Come and take this phone. Okay, Pastor Gabriel, come and take this mic and minister to the people. If he's dragging his feet, it's evidence there's no zeal. But if there is zeal, jump up and it will come. So even our response, our quickness or slowness to the work of God is a reflection of whether we have zeal or we don't have zeal. Praise the living God. Amen. We need to be zealous. God requires zeal in His service. Are we together?
God demands zeal.
It is necessary for we Christians to be zealous in our waiting on God. Now, we know that waiting on God is not fasting and prayer anymore. Waiting on God is now what? Serving God. It is necessary that we must be zealous in serving Him. And it is reflected in how serious you are. It is reflected in how serious you are with His work. How concerned you are about the house of God. Praise the living God. Don't rejoice in revelation alone. If there is no zeal backing up the revelation you have, your revelation is not profiting you. We have revelation, we have knowledge. Where is our zeal? Praise the living God. There are several lessons we can learn from the life of Jesus about Him being zealous for God. Our Lord Jesus was very zealous for the Father. You know, He came to show us how we should relate with the Father. Praise the living God. He came to show us how we should walk with the Father. Look at something in the book of Luke chapter 2 from verse 41. The child Jesus, even from a tender age, the Lord Jesus was already zealous for God. Now, His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, a 12-year-old child. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. Now, my emphasis is from this, but I wanted us to catch the story. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, "Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing." What did He say? And they said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" That was a reflection of a life full of zeal. I must be about my Father's business. Once you are zealous, it's like when something has entered you and taken over you, and you are just about the Lord's business. Praise the living God. Being about the Father's business is it was a reflection of zeal. He was teaching us zeal. He was teaching us how He took the business of the Father first above every other thing. Zeal. That was what He was teaching us. You know, we always think that we are called unto adoption, full authority and power. And we have been taught the meaning of adoption. The process of some placing whereby the big father, the great father, will vest his authority upon his son. Then the son will become instead of the father. Do you understand? The son will become in place instead of the father. When you see the son, you have seen the father. That's the meaning of adoption. The father places all his authority upon the son. That is the meaning of adoption. And the Lord Jesus was adopted. But before He was adopted, see what He was doing. He was about the Father's business. I always say it. If we own a big conglomerate, you are very big, you have children and you own a very big conglomerate and you want to pass on to the next generation. And you have, let me use for example, you have 7 children. Which one will you make? Which one will take over from you? Your heir. No, it's not an issue of firstborn. If the firstborn doesn't care, it's not about the father's business. You know it is a bad bet for you to make him your next in charge. But even if it's that lastborn, but it's the one that is always about the father's business, is the one always showing interest, is the one that is concerned about the father's business, you can see your next heir in him. You are saying, this is the person that will take over from me. Are we together? Amen. So you want God to adopt you. How zealous are you for God? Part of what gave the Lord Jesus Christ the blessing of adoption as a son was his zeal for God. He was passionate about the work of his father.
He was zealous. There was a fire in him burning for the Father's business.
Praise the living God.
Being zealous means you can't, you are so passionate that you cannot see things go wrong in the house of God. See another story from the Lord Jesus, John chapter 2 from verse 13. John chapter 2 from verse 13. Being zealous for God. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, what did he do? He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. What was pushing Jesus to do this? And said unto them that sold doves, take this incense, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. What was pushing him? See what was pushing him. And his disciples remembered that it was written. Oh God. The zeal of thy house has done what? To be like Jesus. The zeal of God's house ate him up. And that pushed him to action. Members of Bride Assembly will see something dirty on the floor. They can't even pick it and put it in dustbin. If I'm even talking even inside the hall. They will even help you to throw things on the floor when there's a waste bin. You are zealous. You're not zealous. The zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. The Lord Jesus was so passionate about the house of God that he could not see things go wrong. Eh? Where I am, it moved him to action. And this is why you see some people, many of us lack zeal. When I was looking at this thing, I started looking, Father, I need more zeal. I thought I was zealous, but when I rated myself, I know that no, even me, myself, I need zeal. He saw things going wrong in the temple. And he didn't fold his hands to say, you know, concern me now. When you see things going wrong in the church, it is your duty to report to the pastor. He came to Brother Lumde's office and he tells you, meet me in a hotel. It is your duty. Don't say, now so did they do. Then you spread it. You tell Brother Gabriel, you tell Evangelism. Nuh-uh. Walk straight to the pastor. This is what happened. Brother Lumde was praying for you and he said, we need to use crude oil to do prayer for you. Not anointing oil, crude oil. And it's expensive. I know you don't know where you will get it, but just bring the money, we'll get it for you. Don't say, forward now. The next thing is you go to, if you are not building with us, then you are scattering. That is the truth. So don't say it doesn't concern you. That means you do not see this place as the place of your father. Or you are a child that is not concerned about the business of his father. Which one of you, your daddy wants to drive out a car when you are young, or even your father's house. Your father's house, you see the roof is about to fall and you say it doesn't concern you. So this thing about children of God, let's begin to think about it. That are we really children of God? It's not a title. It is more than a title. It's a place, it's a position of responsibility to be a child of God. It's not just a title that they call you. There are demands and responsibilities in being a child of God. Praise the living God. The Lord Jesus could not see things go out of order in the house of his father. This is why I say many of us are not zealous. Many of us will wait and see things get spoiled in the church. You know that something is out of order. You know that something is not as it should be. And you keep quiet in the church. That is wrong. We must be consumed with zeal as the Lord Jesus was. Praise the living God. Another example of zeal is what we see in the life of Phinehas. Numbers chapter 25. Being zealous for God means you are passionate to execute his will. You are diligent, passionate, fast to execute the will of God. You don't confer with flesh and blood. When you know you should do the right thing, something pushes you. This is the will of God. Fine. I'm running to do it. Numbers 25 from verse 1. We know the story, but let's read it.
And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, see what is going on. Heads are going, people are dying. Everybody is weeping because of this iniquity. Then one, which language would I use to describe him? One good for something man came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Hey. And what they got? And when Phinehas saw it, the Phinehas, the son of Aaron, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, he went and met people. See now, see what is going on. See what this man is doing. Eh? See as people, they look me. Is that what the Bible says? Is there anybody doing dry fasting here? You're not responding. Is that what the Bible says? Eh? He rose up from among the congregation and took what? A javelin in his hand. What did he do? He went after the man of Israel into the tent and crossed both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Now, let's read on. We are still reading. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned away my wrath from the children of Israel. While he was what? So some people are not responding. Is it that you can't see it? While he was what? Among them that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Read on. Wherefore say unto him, I give unto him what? My covenant of peace. And he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Because he was what? Zealous for his God. He was quick in executing the will of God. Praise the living God. He was fast in executing the will of God. Do you know this issue of zeal covers every aspect of our life? Some people will receive the income, make the money, maybe salary or the business. Do you know they will intentionally wait? Their tithe is there. But they will still be dragging foot. 3 weeks after, you have not paid your tithe. Hey, I will pay. You know the figure in your head, though. I will pay. It is evidence of lack of zeal. Obedience must be total and prompt. God is not interested in sluggish people. You are dragging your foot in serving God. Phinehas was not sluggish. He was fast in executing the will of God. That was a reflection of zeal. There are some of us, the one that used to make me laugh the most is God will give some people instructions, specific instructions. It's always funny to me, maybe when Pastor, our daddy will call them, or the prophet, and the Lord told you to do something. You see, and it's be as if the person is still thinking about it. So, what I used to say in my mind, maybe the person did not hear God well. Because if you heard God well, it is rebellious to me. God asks you to do something, you are still dragging your feet. It means you are not zealous. Phinehas was quick in executing the will of God. Many of us, I'm telling you, there are some people that have not paid their tithes. They have received their salary for January. You are still dragging your feet. Maybe you are hoping that maybe a big need will come and it will go. God requires quickness in the execution of his will. Do you know what disqualified Eli, sir? Eli. Eli did not sin. No, it was the sons of Eli that sinned. But do you know what disqualified Eli was? His lack of zeal. Eli was a son of Phinehas. He was from the lineage of Phinehas, a grandchild of Phinehas. If he had followed the footsteps of Phinehas in executing the will of God, he would not have died.
And that judgment that God passed upon his household do not have come to pass. Let's read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 11. Eli knew that his children were misbehaving and he was cold feet. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. When God is talking like this, he's angry. For I have told him, see, oh, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Eleazar saw iniquity. He executed judgment. Eli, you saw iniquity. Cold feet. Because his sons made themselves vow. It was not Eli. We are still reading, please. It wasn't Eli that was doing all those nonsense. But he was aware. And you are the high priest, the chief priest. You could step them down. You could even pronounce judgment upon them. You pronounce blessing upon Anna, she conceived. Eli's problem was lack of zeal. Let's read on. And he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Eli did not fornicate. He did not steal the offering of the people of Israel. It was his sons, but he was aware. But lack of zeal, no concern, no passion. Your children are messing up the altar of the God of Israel, and you're folding your hands, and it doesn't. It's lack of zeal. Many of us are like Eli. Many of us are like Eli. If we are to walk in power this year, we must be zealous for God. Let there be a fire burning inside of you that you are out to do the will of God. That you are passionate about his work, passionate about his house, passionate about him. That was what disqualified Eli. It was just lack of zeal. He wasn't zealous. If he had followed the footsteps of his grandfather, that judgment would not have been pronounced. It would have been only his sons that would have reaped the fruit of their iniquity. And you know something about zeal, eh? Zeal will make you the enemy of Canaan people. Because I could have seen, maybe in that camp of Israel, when Phinehas stood up, some people would be Yimu. Sorry, those watching online, Yimu is, what is it called in English? Yimu is Yimu. That's, you know. Some people would have been looking at this and, holy, holy, you own too much. Some people would have been saying so. Canaan people cannot understand a zealous person. You will make, you know, if you want to be zealous, you make enemies. In this church, somebody was telling that person, ah, your own is too much. Why are you giving offering? Somebody is zealous about helping, supplying needs in the house of his father. Then another person is looking at him. Canaan people cannot work with a zealous person. They will not understand why you are doing certain things you are doing. They will not understand. Eh? Because why? There is no fire upon their own altar. That's why we must follow the footsteps of people like Phineas. Phineas did not even take counsel with his wife that, see what this man is doing, bad, what should I do? He went straight ahead and performed the counsel of God. He performed what God required at that instance. Why? Those that have already sinned, God already told Moses, take up their heads. So if this same person is still doing the same thing, God has passed judgment. He was only looking for somebody to execute it. And Phineas said, this is the will of God. Yes, this is the will of God. Yes, not to concern me with anybody. Pew. Straight ahead, he went and did the will of God. And God was so moved. God pronounced an everlasting blessing, entered the covenant with him. Canaan people will not understand a zealous person. That's why we've been saying, be careful those you associate with. Come on, that Brother Lumide said, if you are coming late as a Christian, shame on you. They wanted to kill him. Thank God for my daddy in the Lord. They wanted to kill him. You see, carnal people. You know, I started meditating on that thing and like, so true. Now this kind of thing they cause fight for church. That somebody was preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You won't come late to church. Think now. Is it right for you to come late to church? If you are serving somebody working in an organization and the resumption time is 8, you know that you are looking for trouble when you don't meet up. Then a preacher is telling you it is wrong to come late to church on Sunday and you are getting angry. That means that person doesn't have any zeal at all. At all. No zeal at all. This small boy is telling me, you know where I'm coming from? The person does not have zeal. Brother, if you are hearing me, you don't have zeal. And if I'm preaching again and I branch God that place, I will say it. You don't have zeal. Be careful those you associate with so that people that lack zeal will not kill your own zeal. There are fire extinguishers in the church. Fire extinguishers. Because I will not forget what happened during our countdown to anniversary. The committee came. Committee that consisted of private people in the church. It was not the overseer that said this must be their man. They came and said, for what we want to do, this is what we are looking at. And let me let you know that many people in that committee, several people gave to that program, to that project. They came and said, this is the amount they need. Then a multi-billionaire in the church stood in an office and was saying, waiting, this one too much. How will the people clap? In front of people. And those people, let me not talk. Please, one good thing you should do for yourself this year is ask God to give you zeal. Ask God to fire up your zeal for you. And let's not even wait and be putting everything in the hands of God. If you can just sit down and be considerate, you will begin to have zeal for God. Praise the living God. So being zealous for God is a requirement. It makes you also concerned about his house. Look at the story of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, from verse 1. Many of us are not concerned about the house of God at all, and it is evidence that we don't have zeal. We lack zeal. That is why we have this I don't care attitude. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house. This is David now. And the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. This is David. That the king said unto Nathan the prophet. See, it was not God that spoke to David about temple. Hope you know. It was not God that told David about a temple. Hey. It is easy to be blessed by the God of Israel. It is easy. It's a fact. It is easy to be blessed by God. That the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. He was only considerate of God, of the house of God. He was just being considerate. Let's read on. Let's read that story to verse 15 so that you get a good picture. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus said the Lord, shall thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even unto this day. But I have walked in tents and in a tabernacle. In all the places that I have walked with all the children of Israel, did I speak any word to any tribe of Israel? Did I speak any word to all those judges that I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why did you not build me an house? God did not demand. God did not demand a temple. Let's read on. Now therefore, so will you say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheep court, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee wheresoever you went, and I've cut off all your enemies out of your sight. I've made you a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as in the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from other enemies. Also, the Lord telleth you, David, that what will he do? He will make thee an house. That house is not a physical house. So. David was already dwelling in a physical house. Verse 12. And when your days are fulfilled and you sleep, you die and you go and be with your fathers. See, you, your children after you, that will come from you, I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13. He will build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now, the most amazing part of this covenant is this statement. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy, hey, Father, let your mercy never depart from me. My mercy will not depart away from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. The sure mercies of David. That if you sin, I will deal with you. I will afflict you, but you are still my son. What could be more than that? As a result of a man's zeal. You know, God is sovereign in his decisions, yes. But there's something I've also discovered. All these great men in the Bible, there is a testing or a trial. Let me put it away. There's a premise on which God also blessed them. Before God could make an everlasting covenant with Abraham, he knows all things. But he wanted us to see. He proved him. The Bible said that God tried Abraham and said, go and offer your only son. Tempted him. Genesis 22. So it's not that just God loves Abraham and just chose him. There were some things that God saw in these men. I believe it. And he proved it. There were some things he saw in these men that he said, this ones, this is the kind of way, this is the way I will walk with these people. Are we together? Amen. We like to claim great blessings, but let's also look at the lives of these men. See the zeal of David and see what he got in return. It is necessary for us to be zealous. I'm saying it again. The reason why many of us don't care about the needs of the ministry or the progress of the ministry is because we lack zeal. If you are a member of this church, you are watching me now, you are here, and you don't care about the needs of the church or the progress of the church, it is a reflection of your lack of zeal. You're a member of the church and you are redundant, you don't do anything. Not because you don't have the time. You don't do anything. You don't care about the movement of the church, the progress of the church, anything happening in the church. You lack zeal. There's no fire on your altar. Zeal is required in our relationship with God. Zeal is like romance between a man and his wife. Imagine a man and his wife are dealing with themselves like soldiers. About that! Come here. Boom, 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 boom. Sergeant, Sir Biodun is not here. Sergeant Biodun, bring that in. Yes, sir. Boom, boom. That home will be very sweet, Abby. That's how God requires zeal for us to be emotional, passionate, concerned. God is in heaven. We are his representatives on earth. Praise the living God. We are his ambassadors. So necessity is laid upon us to be concerned about his work, about his program, about his house. Zeal. We need zeal. Do you know that why many of us compromise or are not diligent enough is because of this lack of zeal also? For instance, simple outward things, because that's not salvation. That you wear long skirt does not mean you are saved. That you don't put your ring doesn't mean you are saved. You are saved because you are born again. And what makes you born again is that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But these things like modesty, very simple because it's simple. It's not, you cannot compare things like that with maybe works of the flesh. You understand me? Before God saved all of us, we were indulged in one work of the flesh or the other. And salvation is a process. God keeps refining you. So you cannot compare things like that. But you know why many sisters can't even wear long skirts? It's because they lack zeal. You don't need the Holy Ghost to be modest. If not, Muslims have the Holy Ghost. You know, if your own is, I'm dressing this way, I'm packaging fake boobs, mini skirts, anything. It's not Holy Ghost, though. Don't push it to Holy Ghost. It's lack of zeal. Because I will show you Muslim sisters that don't know anything about Lord Jesus Christ, how they are dressed, whether they are working in Central Bank, in any big company, anywhere at all, they declare their faith because they are zealous about their faith. How about you, Christian brother and sister? It's not Holy Ghost. So when we are saying somebody has not received Holy Ghost, let's look beyond the skirt and all those things. Let's look beyond that. Although you can't have the Holy Ghost and be misbehaving that way. But don't say, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost so that I will stop all these ones. You lack zeal. That's it. You lack zeal. That's just the truth. Because when you know that this is what God requires of you, that one is not a weakness of the flesh. It's just a matter of conviction. And many of us have seen it from the Bible. You've heard inspired preachers that the children of God must be modest. You cannot say you're a daughter of God and you're sending people to hell by your appearance. You're destroying the kingdom of your father. And every woman knows that her body is sacred. It's the truth. If not, go naked and walk from here to Ijesha. Whether people will look at you or not. Every eye will turn and be looking at you. You're a woman. But what will come to their mind is this must be mad. Are we together? So let us know the root cause of the matter. It's lack of zeal. It's lack of zeal. It's a reflection that you are not zealous for your God. Praise the living God. How zealous the Muslims are. A zealous mind is a mind that is out to establish the will of God by all means. Can you tell the person by your side, be zealous for God? Be zealous for God. Praise the living God. For how many Sundays now, the church has announced that we need fans. I was expecting by now we would have had 100 units of fans. Now, if you don't have the money, we are not talking to you. God will not require from you what you can't give. Our God is not wicked. But we are talking of people but yet some people are responding. A sister from the UK messaged us that she's giving 5, just like that. That's because she's concerned. She's not here with us in Nigeria. She's not the one suffering the heat. She heard that, an announcement was made that there is no fan in the house of her father. She got concerned. Many of us are not even concerned enough to come and join in cleaning the church. We lack zeal. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. It can hinder many things from us. God is looking for his children who are serious-minded. You just be like the person that is receiving. That song says, mercy drops round us are falling. You just be receiving mercy drops because you're a child of God. But there are some showers that you can't receive unless you change your attitude towards God. It's a fact. Zeal is necessary. Are we together? But the thing is, let your zeal be according to knowledge. Praise God. Let your zeal be according to knowledge, and let your knowledge be backed up with zeal. Don't say, I know where I'm standing. I have knowledge. Let your knowledge be backed up with zeal. And you that has zeal, let your zeal be according to knowledge. Are we together? Praise the living God. Because being zealous without knowledge will make you what? Fanatical. Being zealous without knowledge will make you fanatical. You will do more harm than good when you are zealous, but you don't have knowledge. No revelation. No knowledge of the will of God. This message is to those of us that know the will of God. You already have the knowledge. Fine. Be zealous. Put fuel in that knowledge. That's the zeal. Energize that knowledge you have and put it to action. That is the zeal we are talking of. We are expecting a change in character among the church members of this church this year. Let's begin to see us being concerned for the church, concerned for one another. Let's begin to see us so passionate about the ministry. That's the zeal we are talking about. Don't come to the church and behave like a stranger in Israel. If you are certain that the Lord God is here, then why not queue into it? Make yourself available to serve the Lord God Almighty. I've said it before, but I need to make that statement again. Because I have many brothers and sisters that still do that. I use the carpenter as an example. But I need to say it. There are some of us that we can offer small service. I'm saying it because I have to say it. But people are listening to me. But rather we come to the church seeking for contracts. It's wrong. It's wrong, oh. Be a servant in the house of God so that God will make you a master outside. It's wrong. If you are doing it, don't do it this year. All you need is give me the materials I need to work with. Members of Bride Assembly Church, stop asking for workmanship and labor. It's wrong. Be zealous for God. It is the house of your Father. So we should carry the offerings of the people that the people have given to God. When you yourself, you can make that service an offering to the Lord. Let's wake up. And that person that is not putting off their phone in the church is evidence you don't have zeal too. Because you want to disturb and distract people with your big phone. It's because you don't have zeal. So let's be zealous. Let our zeal be according to knowledge, according to Romans chapter 10 verse 1. Let's read Romans 10, 1. Romans chapter 10 from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, see, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. But this zeal that they have is not what? Now, these are examples of people that will go to the mountain. You go and stay on the mountain 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you're a prayer warrior. That's not zeal. If you think you're zealous, that's foolish zeal. Whatever is pushing you is not the proper zeal. A woman will stop meeting with her husband and say she's consecrating herself to the Lord. We had that case for years, or the man. That's not zeal, oh. That's not zeal. I want to wait on the Lord. That is not zeal. Or you think you are too zealous, you go and quit your job, close your business. Say, I want to be working for God now. Then every Wednesday, you are here for evangelism. You are not an ordained minister in the church. No appointments, nothing. They will even say church placed you an allowance, but you went to go just say, see, I have a ministry. That's not zeal. That is not zeal. The zeal we want must be according to knowledge. That is zeal without knowledge. So that's ignorant zeal, foolish zeal. The acceptable zeal is a zeal that goes with knowledge. So before you do anything and say, out of zeal, make sure it goes with knowledge. Don't go and place yourself on dry fasting till you start having ulcer. If the Lord did not tell you, the Bible did not say you should live continuously in fasting. No. It is no longer fasting when it is continuous. Then you are sick, you are having this thing. If you are not led by the Lord, there should be break time. There should be break time. Before you go, and I heard the story of one man in a church that was doing one kind of fasting, was breaking with coconuts. They said he slumped and died in the service one day. That's not zeal. That is not zeal. Don't decide and say, I want to be like John the Baptist. You are not John the Baptist. You don't have his core. Then you go and be living in the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey. That's the record we know of you. Please, whatever zeal that you think you have, let it go with knowledge. In your giving, let it go with knowledge. Pastor has told us, the church is a mixed multitude. There are babialas in the church. When you give, you say, I'm a giver. Give with wisdom. Give, let your zeal of giving be according to knowledge. That's why he has said, you people that have money in the church, he has said, come to him so that it will be a form of protection to you. He's not saying you should come and know him so that you'll be giving him money. It's not that kind of a pastor. Once people know, it is by the kind of car you drive. Once people know, or maybe a prophet picked you up, and people, so this person wants this kind of thing. The church is a mixed multitude, as painful as it is. There are people that will chingum you and suck you. So you're a giver, let your zeal be according to knowledge. Please, zeal must go with knowledge. And the rewards for being zeal, we saw that of Phinehas, everlasting priesthood. We saw that of David, everlasting kingship, until the Messiah came from the lineage of David. Jesus is called the Son of David. Why is he called the Son of David? David did something that moved God. It's not, this one is not God requiring it. This was a man that was zealous for his God. The right zeal will always lead you to blessings. The right zeal. That's what Apostle Paul said. It is good to be zealous always in a good thing. The right zeal will always lead you to blessings. So once you have zeal according to knowledge, you are on the right track. It's a matter of time. You will call the attention of God to you in a very unique way. Let us be zealous. What about Jehu? Jehu was zealous. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 16. And he said, come with me and see what? Are we together? Come with me and see what? That means zeal can be seen. You come to church late, no zeal. Your early coming is a reflection of your zeal. Your giving to the work of God is a reflection of your zeal. Say, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. Now go to verse 30. See what God did in reaction to the zeal of Jehu. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and has done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy children to the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. Can you see it? As a result of what? A man's zeal. Praise the living God, church. So as we walk out in empowerment this year, let us go in zeal. I want you to help us with this song, May the Lord Depend on You. Let us launch out being zealous for God. Don't accept coldness and lukewarmness. Be passionate for God. Be passionate for the work of God. Be passionate for the house of God. Don't be a negative wire or a neutral wire. Be a positive wire. Be passionate. May the Lord depend on you. As we bow our head, I want us to just offer that prayer while the musicians sing that song. Father, baptize me with the fire of your zeal. Baptize me, O Lord, with the fire of your zeal. Offer that prayer with your heads bowed. Offer that prayer with your heads bowed. Father, baptize me with the fire of your zeal. Make me zealous, O Lord. Make me zealous, O Lord. Make me zealous, O Lord. Make me zealous. I want to be on zeal. I want to be on fire for you, zealous. I want to be zealous for you, O Lord. Let me be zealous for you. Make me zealous, 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 zealous. I need your zeal, O Lord.
When the conflict fears is raging, with the powers of the night, God is walking with. May he then depend on me.
truly depend on us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that fires zeal is the Holy Ghost. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then, it is only then you are unstoppable." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love this 1 month of consecration empowerment program. I love it because it gave me opportunity to say so many things to the believers. It gave me opportunity to say so many things, and the reactions we are having from all over the world lets us know it was worthwhile, the program. Can we clap our hands and appreciate God? Yes, tomorrow is the last day of the daily empowerment, because every service is for empowerment. When you come on Friday, it's empowerment by prayer. On Sunday, empowerment by the sermons. Wednesday night, digging deep, empowerment by the word study. Communion service is empowerment as we look at the cross. So every time we come together is empowerment. Empowerment continues. I remember when the Lord spoke to me that day, I was sitting down somewhere there. He said, "This year will be a year of restoration." We didn't know how it was going to be, but we now know that he's going to restore his church. He's going to restore his church. Because I remember Revelation chapter 2 from verse 2. Revelation chapter 2 from verse 2, the Ephesian church. He said, "I know thy works,
and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil."
You see, how you cannot bear them which are evil. You know, thy labor, thy patience,
how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found
they
them
were
liars.
Contenders of the faith.
And hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless,
that is the first church age. Suddenly some things began to happen and the testimony changed. What did he say?
"Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love."
You have left thy first love. What is the first love? Go back to verse 2 again.
"I know thy works and thy labor and
your
thy
works,
patience."
In verse 2, your works.
"And thy labor."
Labor.
"And thy patience."
Patience.
"And how thou cannot bear them which are evil."
If you anybody try to come and say anything that will offend my brother, make me look evil, like I'll fight you. If anybody try to mess up around me, to make me join their filthy lifestyle, will resist it. That was their testimony. And what else?
"And how thou hast tried them, we say the apostles and are not."
They will never depart from the scriptures.
"And has borne and has patience." "And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted."
That is the first love. And verse 6, what did he say?
"But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds."
No, verse 5, sorry.
"Remember therefore from whence thou hast
remember
fallen,
where you were before.
And repent."
Where you were before you fell, bride assembly. Remember how we were when this church started. When we come together, we are not looking at time to close. Fellowship was sweet. People will come to church on Friday and leave Monday morning to work and to their homes. Fasting and praying, fire everywhere. That's how we were. It's time for this church to be restored. Hallelujah. It's time to be restored. What did he say?
"Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen."
Yes.
"And repent and do the first works." "Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place." Except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou eatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Now, I just want you to note, you know, that the emphasis, what I want to bring out in this first church is, that was where the fire was. But Satan was after it. Enemies of revival, and they are still available now. They are still available. As I'm going to the second part of the contentious faith sermon topic I'm taking, maybe on Sunday. Just to know it. Guard your faith. Guard your relationship with God. Protect it. Zeal is an English word defining your passion. The passionate pursuit of what you believe, of a cause. And God gave a type. The fire in the temple must not go out. The fire must keep burning. It was symbolizing zeal. Your zeal to serve God must not, you know, go out. That's why in Revelation chapter 3 verse 19, it says, be zealous and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Be zealous, therefore,
and repent. Repent. Romans 12 verse 11 used the word fervent. Romans 12 verse 11 used that word that we should not be slothful in business. We should be what? Fervent. Fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. Fervent. That's why he told Timothy, told the church in Thessalonica, should quench not the spirit. Burning, keep the zeal burning. Titus chapter 2 spoke about zealous, verse 14, that we should be zealous of good works. Good works. Good works. Good works. Hallelujah. And when this zeal that you have, and it's always on when we begin, when we start give our life to Christ afresh. Every one of us here, if you really had an experience with God, you know the passion you have. You are ready to declare anywhere you're a Christian. You will, the house will not sleep. You are praying in the night. At the slightest opportunity, fam, you are in the church. At the slightest opportunity, you are there, lock yourself, you are reading. Passion, you are there in your next neighbor. Everybody you meet, you want to talk about the Lord Jesus. When that zeal goes down, that is the true meaning of backsliding. Once you begin to go, and you know, the Bible calls it a backsliding at the heart, because that's where it begins. If the fire is not in your heart, it will reflect in your life generally. It's true. They say backsliding, then he went to now where he was before, begin to go be a palo. They carry woman up and down. No, that one is not backsliding. You are dead. That one, be say, you are totally dead. You don't die. Pata, pata. And that one, you can't help yourself. You need an extra hand of God to resurrect you back. And he will do it through some serious punishment. Chastise. What he will do to you, waiting that prodigal son see. Now, small be that. Now, humble him until he say, he ready to come. They join the servants, they serve for a papa house. It will not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, something zeal does is what love does is what zeal also does. When the Bible says love covereth a multitude of sin, when you love someone, I'm talking of carnal now, will you know, if people who don't have the same feeling you have will be wondering, why are you like that? He said it covereth multitude of sin. Until there's an adage that says love is blind. It's blind to what? Blind to your shortcomings. It does not affect your relationship with the person. That's the power of love. So it is about zeal. Zeal will overlook every discouragement. You are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. You are so focused on what you want to achieve, or what you want to do, that nothing can discourage you. Nothing. If they block you here, you open another way here. They continue. You will say, well, they block road now. So what do? Make I go back home. You will find another road, because you have no peace until you fulfill your passion. If not, how will you describe Paul? Paul, okay, let's use one or two examples of Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 20, from verse 22. Everybody knows the story of Paul.
And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem.
That was his final valedictory message, as theologians call it. He was leaving the Ephesian church.
Not knowing the things that shall befall me there.
He said he's going to Jerusalem. He doesn't know what is awaiting him there. Oh.
Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me.
Oh, again, verse 23.
Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses.
Every city he went, he will receive prophecy. Hey, prison the way for you. Wahala way for you. If you go to Jerusalem, thus said the Lord, you will suffer. See what will happen to you. Verse 24.
But none of these things move me.
They don't move him.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself.
You are ready to die. What is life?
So that I might finish my course with joy.
With what?
With joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
You see? In chapter 21 also, from verse 10.
And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost.
A prophet saw him again. In addition to all he has been hearing, every city he went. He don't come to another city now. Agabus came by a prophetic action, remove his belt, tie it on him. What did he say?
Thus saith the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle.
He collected the girdle of Apostle Paul. He said, whoever owned this, that is how, what is awaiting you.
And shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go
they
up to Jerusalem.
They did everything. Look, oh, don't go to Jerusalem, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. What did he say?
Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my
heart? Why are you people crying and then you want to break my heart to discourage me?
For I'm ready not to be bound only.
Not be only prison yard.
But also to die at Jerusalem.
I'm ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Zeal. And verse 14.
And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
The will of the Lord be done. Let the will of the Lord be done. But the same Lord is the one telling him in prophecy, Wahala, they wait for you. That is zeal for you. And the Wahala, he met it too. Just see a few of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think from verse 23 or so.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as
he was
a
comparing fruit. Himself with all those who were challenging him.
I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, of.
Now hear him.
Of the Jews, 5 times received thy 40 stripes.
39 stripes. They whip him. 39. How many times?
5 times.
5 times. 39. Who shall? For what? For the zeal. For preaching the gospel.
Thrice was I beaten with rods.
With what?
Rods.
Rod.
Once was I stoned.
Stoned.
Thrice I suffered shipwreck.
For water?
A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers.
Robbers.
In perils by my own countrymen.
Countrymen.
In perils by the Eden. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often.
Hey.
In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without,
that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches.
Hey.
Who is weak and I am not weak?
Uh-huh.
Who is offended and I burn not?
Uh-huh.
If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities.
Uh-huh.
The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not.
Uh-huh.
In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison.
A whole battalion of soldiers to protect him.
Desirous to apprehend me.
Hey.
And through a window in a basket was I led down by the wall and escaped his hands.
Through window. As if he was a criminal, hunted for the zeal he had for the things of God. You know, we can laugh now, but just imagine what he went through. And that is the suffering for Christ's sake. The only thing that can enable you to go through all that is zeal. Nothing stops you if you have zeal. It makes you do so many things foolish before the eyes of the carnal people. They will face you thinking they want to help you, like they were disturbing him. Don't go, don't go. But the truth is, that was out of love. You know, the Holy Ghost has spoken. Prophecy has gone forth. A whole Agabus that is known, Prophet Agabus. Anything he says, come to pass. He prophesied one time of a famine. It came to pass exactly. A major prophet said, anybody will get this bell to see what thing they happen. This is how it will happen to you if you go to Jerusalem. He said, you're ready to die. But when the dead cry, he went through window. So he's still a human being. Praise the Lord. You know, I love what Pastor Lumide is saying here. We will get there. Something happened that this zeal stopped in the church. You know, something happened. Because I told one of the brothers, let me not mention his name now, who is spending so much money in the fixing our generator and so many things, spent in millions in the church. And he does not want to see me. So I had to force Olumide that he must see me. And when he came to see me, I think last week or so, I said, I didn't say you should come so that I will pray for you. I just want to tell you what you are doing. That's all I told him. I said, in my former churches, what you are doing is what I was doing there. I said, and when I observed that, church, let me tell you this thing. You may believe it, you may not believe it, it doesn't matter, but this is just me. The most difficult aspect of my ministry is to stand at the altar and ask people to bring money. It's the most difficult aspect of my ministry. Sometimes when I finish, I go back and fight God in my office. Why can't you raise people? That when we say we want to put this building, that's all. They'll say, where is the committee? You will stand there for hours. Yes? Yes? How many? Then this one. But in my former church, all I needed, we were not too many, you know, we are always smaller, small churches, maximum 200, 300 members. Except I am not aware of that need. Except I am not aware. I'm a church member, ordinary church member, like anybody. And once I identify you that you have money, it was my ministry to come to you to encourage you so that you will join me. Let's sponsor the church. Abraham Moses, I said, no, that is why God gave you the money. That's the reason why God put us here. It's our ministry. I will be walking, and the pastor knows nothing about it. I will be walking on, okay, they have this need. Okay, I'll bring half, you bring half. Abraham Moses, please, I beg you, don't tell anybody. Just bring the money. We're not interested in anybody knowing who, but let it be done. I visited one of the churches and I saw the structures are built when his wife died. I went to greet him. And as I was sitting down there, I was looking, I said, let me build this one, let me build this one, let me do this one. I was even looking at it. It's true. When we moved to that place, I went to Alaba, chartered all the instruments. I saw some of them, they are still using them today. Over Everything plus generator plus everything. Build a pastor's office. So I came, I said, Lord, but you say as you would that men should do to you, do also. When I was in the other church, this is what I was doing in my churches now. What of this one? Why are you not raising people like that in my own, now that I'm pastoring a church? So I told the brother, I said, your only answer to my prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I said, what you are doing is payback time from God. Amen. That's why God is using you. That's why I wanted to see you to tell you. Praise the Lord. That comes only out of zeal. When the last church I attended, they started. I was doing contracts here and here. And then 090 was the mobile phone nighter. You know, very few people had in the country to get one line, then was 140,000. Yeah. And you, with connection, you must be connected. Because there were few lines. And I was going to get my own line. And then I remembered. That was when I said, they were using it, you know, the place was small. They needed a bigger place. I said, no, until the church moves out. They need money. Until the church moves out, I cannot with conscience be a member of the church, carry 140,000 naira when the church is in need of money. We started looking for a place of fellowship. That was when we got that place at Ikeja. Went and looked for the landlord at Mushi. And he asked me, which tribe are you? I said, I'm from Nasarawa State, Akwanga. He said, oh. He said, thank God. You'll be pastor. I said, yes. Ordinary church member. He said, I will not give that place to Yoruba or Igbo man. He said, Akwanga, I have been there before. He said, I will give it to you. He said, that place has been there. Then they come. He said, if it's Yoruba or Igbo, he will not give. But thank God, now you, he gave. That's why I pay. Give me receipt. The pastor was sitting down. Well, the cost, I met one other brother. I said, hey, they say 300 and something thousand naira. I said, you bring half. I bring half. Ah, bro. I said, Nala, you. I bring 150. You bring one. You get more money than me, sir. You import containers every month. Me and you will do it. That's how he gave me the money. We paid for the place. The pastor was sitting. I brought the receipt. He just said, Brother Moses, you never cease to amaze me.
Hallelujah.
And I told him, I'm not the only one, no, but the other brother said, I cannot tell you. Don't bother to know. The important thing is that see it here. Praise the Lord. So when we talk about see, we know what we are doing. My wife is watching me, and she can, you know, when Brother Assembly started, I said, we cannot be using generator in the house, and there is no generator in the church. I carry the house with generator. Carry and come put for church. I'm mad. And thank God for the woman that will understand. Praise the Lord. I took the generator in the house to the church. Amen. So don't think that some of us are preaching what we don't do. We do it. My zeal for the house of the Lord is till now. That's why I preach the way I preach. Anybody messing the house of the Lord worldwide, we will do everything and fight it.
Right.
Amen. And I was not doing it so that God will bless me. Right. I was doing it because God has blessed me.
Yeah.
I don't know if you understand my language. Yeah. I was not doing it as a seed. Let me sow this as a seed. Let me sow this. And when we talk, some people don't listen. I saw a text. If you are here, if you are online, maybe you are hearing me. I was blessing the people that anybody that gives, that this is my prayer, that if you give offering and you give tithe in this ministry, that it is a principle you are entitled to the grace in this ministry. I say, I am in the restoration ministry. Nobody comes here and your life will not change. Then I saw a text. You say if anybody is so in your ministry, he will prosper. So I'm sending 5,000 naira to you. so that I will prosper. Praise the Lord. It was so funny. Of course, what do you want me to reply such a person? I just knew that people are not hearing us, understanding what we are saying. Don't serve God so that he will bless you. Phinehas did not do it so that God will bless him.
That's right.
It was a zeal that he had, but there is a reward.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. There is a reward. Amen. There is a reward. Those of you who have time, don't be in a church and be redundant. Don't be in a church and be redundant. Don't be in a church and be redundant. Find a place. Do something. The church setting is opportunity for everyone to participate and be blessed. And like Pastor Lumide, this is not today, it's been on. You know, our people who are skilled, in one area or the other, something is to be done, we will call them. And then they will bring quotation. And then you, together with the admin, they'll be arguing workmanship. $100,000 too much now. This one too much now. So that nobody will say we are manipulating them. I said, don't do that. The only thing, you were there. Yes. The only thing I say, it's okay now. He brought quotation. I said, go outside also and get another quotation. Whichever way is cheaper, we will give a contract. And always the people from outside will be cheaper. You even hear them say, church. Church. I'm careful now, church. From outside, they say, just something I can give my boys who will come and work. Now, church. But our own church members say, no. Then when we not give those people, they'll be grumbling. We are here. They will not give us. They say, now, where are you? They chop. They will not give you. Then the same people again, if your wife die, they want the church. Mama die. The church, and they work for church here every time. They work for church. So what? So I said, do we owe you? Do we owe you? Is there anything where you work where we will not pay you? You have chop. This is the way they look for in advance. Don't chop up. Finish. There's nothing more for you. And sometimes we do it to hope that they will learn a lesson. I will insist. Don't give him shishi. I will insist. I said, don't give him shishi because we don't owe you anything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How does it sound? Meanwhile, in the same church, you see somebody who is in a department, voluntary, this thing is spoiled. He goes to look for the best place that can be fixed. Then he pays them to fix it and then brings it back to the church. Then the ones that you go know say, that one a foundational problem, they worry them. And they need special deliverance. You give them money, church worker, to go and buy something. It costs 100 naira. He will swear that he bought it 150. He will swear it's 150. No conscience. Now people's offering, they take, they go. In the house of God. Go and buy an item, you will inflate it. In church, inside church. Hey, brother, pastor. This one now, pastor. I enter Ladipo. Pastor. No. This Osafia people. Osafia. Osafia. Then he take me, say, no, follow me. Now my pastor. You know, then immediately drop me, you know, he go behind, he tell the guy, say, at my own top. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the day I saw it happen, I said, Kai, Nigeria, may God help us. Praise the Lord. This year, there will be a restoration of zeal. And therefore, God will enter a covenant of peace with us this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It's a commandment. The fire must not go out. The fire of revival must be maintained. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. I love this song. I think it's hymn number 57. The circuit preacher writer went preach. Something like that. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching.